Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 46 degrees and overcast. Today's Thursday, June 14th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. State officials are reconsidering whether to allow a salmon hatchery at Baranof Warm Springs. Juneau resident Dale Young wants to start the hatchery in the small community, which is on the opposite side of Baranof Island from Sitka. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
This is Young's second attempt at a hatchery permit. He was denied last year because he did not have a water use permit. He later obtained one, and state officials agreed to reconsider his request for the hatchery. Last year, property owners from Warm Springs opposed Young's plan. They said the project's industrial nature would harm the wilderness feel of the community. Some said expanding the stock at the nearby Hidden Falls hatchery would be a better option. Young is also a property owner at Warm Springs. He says there are some changes to the project from last year. The entire project, for example, is now located across the bay from the town site, rather than in town. And Young says there are economic benefits, too. He says the project would provide 4 full-time jobs and more during construction. He hopes to begin by rearing about 3 million king and coho. Additional public comments will be taken from noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday at Harrigan Centennial Hall and in writing until July 2nd. You can link to information on the project and find out how to add your voice to the mix. It's all on our website, kcaw.org. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
The Sea Alaska Land Selection Bill has been folded into a larger congressional measure, increasing its chances of passing. U.S. House Republican leaders on Tuesday moved its provisions into an omnibus bill. The Sea Alaska legislation, authored by Alaska Republican Representative Don Young, is among 14 bills in what's called the House Conservation and Economic Growth Act. They say the act will go before the full House next week. The Sea Alaska provisions would allow the Southeast-based Regional Native Corporation to select federal land outside boundaries set in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Corporate officials say that will greatly expand the corporation's timber base, keeping logging and shipping jobs in Southeast Alaska. They say it will set aside land for other future development, plus protect traditional and sacred sites. Opponents, including environmental groups and towns near selection sites, say it's a giveaway of some of the region's most valuable lands. They say it will damage salmon streams, interfere with subsistence hunting, and discourage tourism. The Sea Alaska bill and the other 13 included in the measure have already gone through the hearing process, says House Natural Resources Committee Chairman Doc Hastings. If the bill passes, it will go to the Senate for consideration, where a committee is fine-tuning a different version authored by Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski. Spokesman Robert Dillon says her bill is a compromise with a better chance of passing the Democrat-controlled Senate. Her staff has been negotiating with environmental groups, the Forest Service, the Democratic majority, and Sea Alaska. The Senate version is not yet finished. The Sitka-based Coast Guard cutter Maple is getting a new commanding officer. Coast Guard officials say Lieutenant Commander Fred Seaton will take the helm from Lieutenant Commander Daniel Gray during a ceremony at 5 p.m. this afternoon aboard the 225-foot cutter here in Sitka. Officials say Gray is taking on a new assignment at the Joint Forces Staff College in Norfolk, Virginia, after commanding the cutter for 3 years. Seaton is taking his Alaska assignment after serving as the operations officer for the Seattle-based Coast Guard cutters Polar Star and Polar Sea. The Maple's area of responsibility includes the inside waters of Southeast Alaska. Forget the bridge to nowhere. Former Alaska Governor Frank Murkowski says a tunnel might be the best way to connect his old hometown of Ketchikan with its airport on Gravina Island. Murkowski spoke at the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. KRBD's Layla Carey reports.
Murkowski says that Ketchikan should start looking for an alternative to the bridge idea, in part because of the negative publicity that the bridge received through politicians and the national media.
Now, the history of that goes a little further because the former governor, Governor Palin, it's certainly no secret, committed to support the bridge, but later, when she became governor, why she supported an effort to move the money into the interior. And there was a need, a tremendous need for it in the Palmer-Wasilla Highway area. And as a consequence, the population of the Railville area prevailed on the politics of the issue, and the money was moved, and it moved into that area. So the prospects of getting another appropriation of the magnitude necessary, and as you know, these things escalate in cost all the time. So a $330 million or thereabout bridge a few years ago may be a $400 or $450 now. In any event, is there a practical alternative?
He says one possibility is an 1,800-foot submerged tube made of concrete and steel sections, connected with watertight rubber seals and secured with a rock layer on top. A chart Murkowski distributed at the luncheon shows the tunnel starting just south of Peninsula Point on Revillagigedo Island and ending at Lewis Point on Gravina, less than a mile north of the airport.
I've had an opportunity to review some of the history of these. It's not a new concept. It's been around for about 100 years. There are numerous tunnels in the United States. I'm not going to go through a lot of detail here on the specifics, but I did want to assure you that it's not something that needs an awful lot of new evaluation. In Europe, there are 48 tunnels. In North America, there are 27. Japan, there are 20. East Asia and Japan has 9. And there's other areas around the world with about 4.
Murkowski says to construct such a tunnel, a V-shaped trench is dredged and graded. Sections of the tunnel, which he says could be built at the Ketchikan shipyard, then would be floated over the area, sunk, and positioned into place. Murkowski says the rubber seals would connect each section. Murkowski asked what the attitude was toward an alternative to the bridge concept.
You want to go back and roll the dice on the bridge again? In my opinion, the prospects of that are pretty remote. First of all, it's gotten such national publicity that most politicians want to stay as far away from voting on quote-unquote bridges to nowhere as possible. The question is it a project that deserves support by your delegation and the governor and your local representatives, and if so, how do you start a process?
Murkowski says that if there is support for such a project in Ketchikan, the community would need to work together with state and federal officials to fund a feasibility study. He says a tunnel can be less expensive than a bridge, but the cost wouldn't be known until after the study. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
A Juneau author is rowing a dory around Southeast waters. Dick Callahan is on an open-ended trip. His stop in Petersburg marked the 10th day of rowing. KFSK's Alexis Kenyon caught up with Callahan as he docked in Petersburg's North Harbor and asked about his vessel and his trip.
My name is Dick Callahan, and I'm on a rowing trip. I've got a 18-foot rowing dory and sailing dory as well, and I decided to take a row down from Juneau.
And how come you decided to go?
Oh, just to shake out the boat and see how she did on a long trip, and I like to row.
Can you tell me about your boat?
Yeah, it was the Golden Moon is the name of the boat, and she was built in Amesbury, Massachusetts by a fellow named Graham McKay, and she's got a lug sail with a little jib sail on it, so you can sail it toward the wind a little bit better than you would a usual lug sail. A lug sail, for people that don't know, is a kind of a squarish sail that that does best when it's running with the wind, but it's a surf dory, so it's built to handle surf, which means it's instead of a traditional Banks type of dory with a more flattish sides, it's got a more rounded side, so it's got more buoyancy in it than a Banks dory would. A Banks dory works great when it's loaded, but not it's really rocky when it's empty. This boat can handle a lot of weather when it's whether it's full or not full.
Is it like driving like a cool car or something like that?
Well, I guess if people talk about chick magnets, and if a boat like this is more of a guy magnet, men really appreciate a boat like this, and I guess you either gravitate toward them or not, but I sure do.
Do you see whales?
I see whales often, and whales come around the boat fairly often, and I've always felt like they know that I'm there, but the thing that really strikes me the most about traveling in this boat is seals, because seals will follow me for miles sometimes.
Why did they follow you?
I've been thinking about that, and I've never had that kind of experience with a kayak, but it happens all the time in this boat. And it might be because I'm facing them when they come up, and marine mammals like to come up behind you, like seals and sea lions like to come up behind you. And when they come up behind me, I'm looking at them, and I talk to them. And if you sink to them, a lot of times they'll turn their head so that because that's what they're listening with, right? And so they'll just stay with you and follow you for miles.
That's Dick Callahan talking to KFSK in Petersburg about his trip through Southeast waters in an 18-foot rowing dory. Callahan's most recent novel is Cannabis North. He also collects audio of whale songs. You can find links to his work online at kfsk.org. A member of the Anchorage School Board says he can do his job effectively despite living 4,000 miles away in the Marshall Islands. Pat Higgins has not been in Alaska's largest city for a meeting since April. He's not expected back until August. Higgins moved to the Kwajalein Atoll for a job with Chugach Alaska Corporation, which provides services for the Ronald Reagan Ballistic Missile Defense Test Site. He participates in school board meetings by phone. Not everyone is happy with the arrangement. David Boyle of the Alaska Policy Forum says Higgins should resign or be ordered off the board. Superintendent Carol Como says a legal opinion on Higgins' fitness to serve will be complete by next week. So another forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for showers, likely highs around 52, south winds 5 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, lows around 45, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, rain likely in the afternoon, highs around 55, east winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35 in the afternoon. This is KCAW in Sitka.